Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We started out 2 weeks ago and was thinking this would be a two-part series here on what the coming of Christ meant and what it means, not just meant in the past tense, but what it means today. And part one was what the coming of Christ meant to those who were under the covenant. Okay, and Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 is going to cover both. It's going to cover those under the covenant, but it's also going to cover now, and this is where we're going to go today, what does the coming of Christ mean to the Christian? And Christmas is all about the coming of Christ, of God coming to earth in flesh, God the Son, to save a fallen world. That's the message of Christmas. Any other message of Santa Claus, of anything else, is not what the primary issue should be here. Okay? So, we worship Jesus. That's what Christmas is to us. So, in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, so today we're going to look at what the coming of Christ means for the Christian. So, both are going to be covered here in two verses. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman under the law, and we covered that 2 weeks ago. We covered the fullness of time. We covered God sending His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. We spoke about what that meant. So that He might redeem those who were under the law. When you hear peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that He will take the government on His shoulders, all those things, that's what it's talking about to those who are under the law. The Jewish people under the covenant. But it says now, in verse 5, we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. So this is two parts of why Christ came to earth. So the whole theme here, now, because Christ came to earth, but He didn't stop there. He went to the cross. He died for us as exactly like it was prophesied that He would die. He went to the grave and He rose again. We now are able to have the righteousness of God without the law. That's the whole deal. That's the beauty of Christmas. We could not have this without Christ came to earth. So it works in this cycle of Christ on earth for 33 years. We are justified freely. And verse 5 says, because of that, we have the adoption as sons and daughters. Turn to Romans 3. Romans 3. Now you're going to find out here, and I love it, because if you talk about cross-referencing, you can cross-reference so much in Paul, where he'll say one thing in Romans and you'll say, hold on, I just read that in Galatians. And then you'll go to Ephesians and you'll say, hold on, I just read that in Romans. And you'll go to Colossians and you'll say, hold on, I just read that in Ephesians, almost word for word. So Paul was able to take the beauty of grace doctrines that he was given, and no matter what the situation was, he was able to tie these in, where they're the same and they stand no matter the situation. So Romans 3, verse 21 through 26. Remember what we said. Because Christ came to earth, we now have righteousness without the law. We're justified freely. So Romans 3, verse 21. Paul writes, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed. Apart from the law. Okay? Law's not involved here. Okay? This is one of the first places. Romans is probably the first book that you can go to in the Bible that once God called out Abraham in Genesis 12 was the first book you can go to in the Bible where we don't have to go through the law or go through Israel to have a relationship with God. It's the first place. Okay? Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the law was witnessed, or was witnessed by the law and the prophets, the coming of Christ. All right? When Christ came to earth, he fulfilled all these prophecies of the coming Messiah. Like I said, when he came, the Messiah language was no stranger to the Jewish people. They knew what it meant. They were looking for the Messiah. But it is the righteousness, verse 22, of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. It was for the law. Now, of those under the law, now it's for everybody. The body of Christ, there is nobody excluded. The availability is there for everyone. Why is that? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you've sinned, then there's hope. If you've not sinned, then I'd love you to have your autograph. Now, look what it says in verse 24. Being justified as a gift by his grace. So what's in it for me as a believer at this time of year? Okay? Christ came for the Christian. What do I get out of it as a Christian? Right here, I've got this in bold. A gift. You talk about getting gifts at Christmas, here's your gift. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The greatest gift that you'll ever receive is that Jesus Christ bought you back through his death on the cross, and now you are justified. God sees you through his righteousness, not mine. Through his righteousness, you are covered by the blood, and he sees you just as you've never sinned. That's how God sees you. That's the relationship you are in, and it was a gift that Jesus gave, the ultimate gift on the cross. Merry Christmas. Amen. Whom God displayed as a... So he explains it here. As a propitiation. He took my sin in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Not mine, his. Because in God's merciful restraint, he let sins previously committed go unpunished. For the demonstration, that is, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That's how it happened. Jesus went to the cross. He paid the ultimate sin debt. He was the propitiation. And because of that, if I have faith in the death, burial, and resurrection, saving faith that I believe that Jesus Christ did that for me, I believe he went to the grave, I believe he rose again, and I take that faith to accept him as Savior, I have all of this. Every last word of Romans 3, 21 through 26. Just take some time and see what the Lord's done for you. Now, turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Thank goodness it's not about my righteousness. It's not about how many good works I can do. Can I be good enough? I told you, it bothers me when I hear people say that have been in church say, I hope I've done enough to get to heaven. Jesus Christ did enough for you to get to heaven. He did enough for the whole world to get to heaven. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In him, in who? In Christ. In Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, So you listened to the gospel, okay? And then you believed, okay? You heard it, you believed it. You were sealed. What happened? You were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is the first installment of your inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. I'm old enough to remember, believe it or not, there was a world where Amazon didn't bring stuff to your door at Christmas. I'm old enough to remember the QVC days. So Larry James was the postman one day. He thought he'd get a big kick out of it, so he delivered two or three presents to the office over here that wasn't for me or Missy, they were for Paul. And when he left, he turned around and grinned. He said, Missy's going to have to quit watching QVC. So I beat him out the door, and I go straight up the hill, and I'm starting to let her have it. She said, I've not even ordered anything from QVC, and he got a big kick out of that. And now it's Amazon. I'm old enough to remember layaway, Ken. I'm old enough to remember layaway. What'd you do? Cleo's laughing. He'd get me a big kick out of this one. I remember layaway, where you go, you made your payments, and you put the stuff back, and they held it back there in the back somewhere. And then when you got it all paid off, you know, you got it. Installment plans, right, Ken? Installment plans. Well, here's the beauty here. Speaking of Christmas and getting gifts, the installment plan right here, the installment of our inheritance. Now, the thing is, though, we don't have to get it all paid off before we get it. It's ours. It's ours. And it's just paid off and paid off. So what happens is, when you die, you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit the day, the second that you gave your heart to the Lord. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's how you're seen when it comes time for eternity. You see, you are recognized through the Holy Spirit being in you. You're going to heaven. That's the down payment. That's the installment. That is the present. What did Jesus do for us? What's in it for me at Christmas? Eternal life. The installment of the Holy Spirit. The second I'm saved. Now, in Galatians 5, it says that we may receive the adoption of sons and daughters. Okay, now you don't have to turn back there because I promise we're going to go somewhere else here. But it says we have received the adoptions of sons and daughters. Now go to Romans 8. Excuse me. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17. Now, when we received the spirit of adoption, we did not receive the spirit of bondage or the spirit of fear. They're two totally different things. Okay? Two totally different things. Now remember, we not only are sons and daughters and have adoption, we receive the spirit of adoption. So remember that. So Romans 8 verse 14 through 17. Now here's the reason I read Ephesians 1 and 13 that were sealed by the Holy Spirit was to go into this. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you're sons and daughters. Why are you sons and daughters? You have the spirit of adoption. You have been adopted into God's family. You remember John 8, 31 through 32? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, before the cross, before the death, burial, and resurrection, it was based on actions. It was your actions. Okay? Here, it is the Spirit in us the minute we come believers. And if that Spirit is in our life and it leads us, we are sons and daughters of God. Now, let's just hear what it says. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. But here we go. You have received the spirit of adoptions as sons and daughters by which we cry out. Now what, Abba Father? Now, Paul's terminology here, the way he puts this, was no mistake. Half the Roman world was slaves. Okay? So everybody knew what he was talking about. So they had not received that the spirit of slavery. They had received the spirit of adoption of sons and daughters. He's saying literally, you were a slave. You were an individual who had no spiritual family. You were a slave to sin. You were a slave to the devil. But Jesus bought you. He redeemed you on the cross. And not only do you have that, you're not just set free and turned loose and say, okay, try to make it. He went one step further. He adopted you into your family. You went from slave to son. You went from slave to daughter. Okay? We understand that in the United States, slavery was a horrible institution here in the United States. And people were granted freedom from slavery. They were basically, it's okay, you're not a slave anymore. Well, how do you make it? You don't own anything. You don't have an education. You don't have any of that. I mean, they were just turned out into the world and just trying to make it. We have it a lot better than that. We are the sons. We're in the kingdom. We are the sons and daughters of the King, of Jesus. I mean, you not only were adopted into a family, you were adopted into the family. Okay? Now, verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, and this blows my mind, not only heirs of God, but fellow heirs with Christ. Do you understand that you have every spiritual promise that Jesus Christ has? That blows my mind. I would, if they said you are heirs of Christ, I would understand that totally. But it says we're fellow heirs with Christ. Every spiritual promise that Christ has, we have spiritually. That's how much God loves us. That's how much being in the family it means. I didn't say it. Paul said it. Who might argue with Paul? If indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. So we'll be glorified with him in heaven, with eternal life, glorified bodies. Turn to Galatians 2. So we have received this spirit of adoption, this spirit of freedom. He says we don't have the slave spirit. We don't have the spirit of fear. Well, with that comes liberty. So what do I get out of it at Christmas? Or I shouldn't say at Christmas, but Christ coming to earth. Let me rephrase that. What do I get out of Christ coming to earth? Liberty. Freedom. That's exactly what you get. Okay? Now Galatians 2. I love Galatians. Galatians is one of my favorite books. So Galatians, Paul's writing to the church of Galatia. They've been given the grace doctrines. They know it's grace through faith. But what happens? They've had these individuals come in and say, no, it's not either. You better keep the law. You better keep, be circumcised. You better keep kosher laws. You better keep the commandments. It's not enough. It's good that you believe, but you better do all this on top of it. And Paul ain't having it. So in Galatians 2, he talks about that he eventually, you see what happened to these individuals that were sent in from the church of Jerusalem. Okay? By one in particular, but I'm not going to get into that. Dave, I know you. So anyway, Paul goes to them and he says, okay, we're going to get this thing settled. Okay? So Galatians 2, 1 through 4. Then after the interval of 14 years, I went to Jerusalem with Barnabas, also taking Titus along. It was because of a revelation that I went up and I submitted to them, who? The apostles, the 12. The gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. So he said, I'm going straight to you and I'm giving you the gospel. Here's the gospel that I preach. But I did it in private to those who are of reputation, the apostles, for fear that somehow I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So here they're saying, now you've got to have circumcision. You've got to do this. You've got to keep this law, right? Now look at verse 4. Here's what I've got in bold. Yet it was a concern because of this false brother secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy on our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus in order to enslave us. When you give your heart to the Lord, when you become a believer, you have freedom and liberty. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to the law. You're no longer a slave to, am I good enough? And you're no longer a slave to, am I doing enough? Am I living holy enough? I hope I've not committed some sin today that'll keep me out of heaven. You're free from that. Now, many of us are brought up in that, different denominations, right? We were brought up in that. And we fear, you just hope you were good enough. Jesus didn't even fit into it. It was whether or not you were good enough. Well, we're free from that. We are totally free. Okay? What does the coming of Christ mean to the Christian? It's freedom. Okay? Now, a lot of you know I'm a sports fan, particularly basketball fan. There used to be an announcer. He's passed away. He's a famous individual in the basketball world and in the world in general. He's a great player, great announcer, Bill Walton. And he was funny. I liked him. I liked listening to him. But once I got saved, he became less and less attractive to me. And there's a lot of things that will become less and less attractive to you once you get saved. And he said things. He said one in particular. And I remember where this started at. He was a college basketball color man. And Liberty University, Jerry Falwell's school in Virginia, right? We're going to play somebody. And I remember him saying, Liberty, what a bad description for a school like that. They don't have, in other words, they just can't do whatever they want to do. They can't live that way. They have structure, right? And I was thinking, he doesn't know anything about liberty. He doesn't know anything about freedom because he's not a Christian. Okay? When you're saved and you become a follower of Christ, that's when the liberty and the freedom starts, Cleo. That's when you're free. That's when you experience real freedom. Now, the entire Christmas narrative is based on God's people who are made of individuals who are constantly under somebody's thumb. Okay? When we say freedom, the people Christ came for were in great need of that. Now I want us to look at what freedom, Christ gave us freedom. When he came to the earth, that's what we received. And I want to show you how we were in need of that, who he came for. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I just want you to look at things that we might take for granted. And I think it fits into the narrative perfectly. Just in the world, not even spiritually. But in the world, the people that he came for, what they were facing day to day. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 20. Matthew 1, 18 through 20. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her. But he planned to send her away secretly. Joseph and Mary were under the bondage of public opinion and perception. Mary's pregnant. What will everybody think? What will everybody say? Will we just be totally put out? Will people, what are all the rumors going to be about us? Is anybody going to have anything to do with us? Will we lose all our friends? We're constantly under that fear. But when he had thought it over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What do I get out of Jesus coming to earth? I don't have to be under the bondage of public opinion and perception. I don't have to worry about what people say. I don't have to worry about what people think. I don't have to even worry about what people will do. God has got us covered in every situation. Joseph was going to put Mary away, and what does God say? Don't be afraid to take, don't be afraid. The first words, do not be afraid. That's what Christ brought to us by coming to earth. We do not have to be afraid. We don't have to be under fear or bondage of what people think. Turn the chapter to Matthew 2. Matthew 2, verse 16. So Herod, his name, that name will go down in infamy by what he did, was afraid that the king of the Jews had been born. So he orders that the Jewish boys under the age of 2 years old to be slaughtered. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent men and killed all the boys who were in Bethlehem and its vicinity. This stuff that happened in Australia last night, this is nothing new. It's nothing new. It's been going on for centuries. Who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. So what happened? The Holy Spirit, the angel comes to the Joseph and Mary and said, go to Egypt. And they did not return until Herod had died. Joseph and Mary were under the bondage of someone who had earthly power over them. Now, you may have somebody in your life like that. It might be a boss. It might be the government. It might be your job. I don't know. You really feel right now like there's somebody that's got, it might be a family situation. There's somebody that's got power over me. Well, God came for you. God sent Christ to come for that situation. There's nothing you're going through that Christ has not felt. So when Christ came to earth, he came to help you in your situations where you just feel like you're powerless and there's no hope. That's a bad situation right there. The whole army is out looking for a man, a woman, and her baby. A whole army. Not looking for another army. Looking for a man, a woman, and a baby, and a donkey. That's who they're at. But what happened? They were saved. God took care of the situation. Let me say this too. It was also under God's providence. And let's just say that they would have caught Jesus and he would have been slaughtered. It would have not filled the sin debt that was required by the prophecy of the cross. It would not have been enough to save us of our sins. He had to go to the cross. So that was not the time nor the place. It was another instance of God's sovereignty saving Jesus, like the time that they were going to throw him off the cliff and those other times. It wasn't the time. But God is there in our darkest hour. That's why Christ came to earth. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Why did Christ come to earth? Luke chapter 1, verse 77. And I'm not going to read this whole thing in Zechariah here, but we know we're familiar with that. But I want to go to verse 77 specifically. This is what they were looking for with the Messiah. This is why they didn't accept Jesus. They went, this is our ruling king who's going to defeat Rome. This is him. This guy that doesn't have a place to lay his head. This guy that is riding in on a donkey, this is him. He didn't fit the bill. Suffering Savior, reigning King. The two didn't fit. But in Luke 1:77, here was the expectation. To grant us that we, Israel, being rescued from the hand of our enemies. Christ's people were under bondage. You may have situations in your life where you feel like that you're under bondage. You're under something. You've got something in your life that you just can't get rid of. You've got something in your life that keeps bothering you. There's a situation. It may be family. It may be with somebody else. It may be with finances. It might be with a job. It might be with anything. It might be with health. It might be with have to do with a doctor's note. It may have something to do with that. But Christ's people were under the bondage of oppression. And Christ came. Christ came to earth so that we wouldn't have to be under that bondage. That we could be, no matter what situation that we're in, we could have freedom through Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 2. Move ahead one chapter, Luke chapter 2, 1 through 5. Familiar scripture this time of year. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first sentence while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all the people who were on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. Now Joseph also went up to Galilee from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was pregnant. There's all kind of problems in this here. Okay? Number one, taxation without representation. Heavily taxed. There's financial pressure. You feeling financial pressure? There's all that. There's travel pressure. How am I going to get this done? We're going to have to go to all the way to Bethlehem, and we're going to have to pay this money that we don't have, and we're constantly under this, and guess what? My wife's pregnant. So I'm going to have to make this trip, and it could come at any time. That's pressure. That is pressure. You know, Giles will be a year old tomorrow. And I remember a year ago standing up here and going from these same verses and saying, I just think about Morgan at that stage. And I think mothers, fathers will know exactly what I'm saying here. When it came and it's almost, birth time's almost there, I couldn't imagine Morgan having to go to the square. and walk over to the square. But you're thinking they've got to make this trip on the back of a donkey with a woman that's getting ready to give birth. You talk about adversity. There's nothing easy about this. And you say, there's nothing easy in my life right now. There's nothing going easy in my life. Everything seems to be going wrong. I've got problems. I've got financial problems. I've got health problems. I've got family problems. Everything that's mentioned here, there's several things going on here. Why did Christ come to earth? He understands. Faith in Jesus Christ to help you get through these situations. You may not get every answer exactly the way you want it, but Jesus Christ is there. He knows. He understands. He's been there. He will help you in every situation as a believer. That's why Christ came to earth. I have Jesus Christ to guide me and help me. Okay? Now, John 8:36, and you don't have to turn there, but the coming of Jesus means complete freedom and liberty. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And that came straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ. It's in the red letters, and I'm going to take him at his word, Ken. I'm not going to argue with him. Now, there used to be an old show came on named Sanford and Son. Remember Esther? She used to give it to Fred all the time. She'd quote this scripture to him, and he wasn't having it, you know. But she said this, though. He who is free indeed. She left out a big part of that. You don't have freedom without the Son. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, you may turn to other things and think you're free, but it's a false promise. I can turn to the bottle. I can turn to drugs. I can turn to friends. I can turn to advice. There's a lot of ways I can turn and think there's freedom in this, but what all it means is more bondage. More bondage. Okay? Freedom comes through belief in the Son. Jesus Christ is the only one who will bring you freedom and bondage from whatever you're in. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was both God and man. God the Son came to earth. He is the second part of the Trinity. Only He can make us free. He clarifies here that anything or anybody else is an imposter. Now, go to Colossians 1:15. Whenever I think or hear about God the Son, there's one verse that I go to. Colossians 1:15. Why was it important that Christ come to earth? Why was it important? Why is it important to the Christian? Colossians 1:15. Like I said, this is the verse that I think of all the time. Okay? He, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. God the Father's never been seen. Okay? That's made clear in the Old Testament. He's never been seen. He is the invisible. God the Son was the image. God the Son came to earth to be one of us. Okay? He was the physical God. He was the one that individuals could see and touch and know. Now, we can't see him now physically. We can't touch him physically. I believe we can spiritually. But nothing's changed about the knowing part. We can know Jesus Christ. And I think everybody here does. You can know Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came to earth. That's that personal relationship that Brother Leo used to talk about so much. The image of the invisible God is the fulfilling of prophecy. Paul goes deeper on this topic in Colossians. Go over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Here's something else that we're not under. What's in it for us? I came in today, my good friend Benford Kimes says, well, are you going to speak on religious tradition today? And I said, absolutely not. In fact, I guess he knew where I was going. Because Christ came to earth, we're not under the bondage of religion, tradition, and doubt. Colossians 2, verse 8. See to it that there is no one who takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception in accordance with human tradition. In accordance with the elementary principles of the world rather than in accordance with Christ. When Christ came to earth and died on the cross, we're no longer under religious tradition. And today, we're not under, well, I better live this way. Grandma thought this way. Dad thought this way. Mom thought this way. Grandma, Mom, and Dad are not going to have to answer for me. Grandma, Mom, and Dad are not going to get me to heaven. My relationship with Jesus Christ, and whether I believe or not, is what's going to get me to heaven. I am not under tradition or philosophy. Paul calls it empty deception. Turn to Galatians 6. Verses 12 through 13. I had really never read these verses before, and I think, Benford, I think these are two fascinating verses that I want to get deeper into. I won't do it today, but they're fascinating. And Paul says, all who want to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. I think that's very interesting. It's intriguing to me. So those who want to say, no, you better, it depends on how you live, how good you are. You better see if you're good enough or not. Paul says those individuals, all they're trying to do is make a good showing in their own flesh. Because they're telling you, because I want you to live this way, guess what? It's because I'm that way. I'm that good, right? And he says, for those who are circumcised, they don't even keep the law themselves. But they want to have you circumcised so they can boast in your flesh. I think that's interesting. Not theirs, but yours. Okay? Because Christ came to earth, we do not have to be robbed of the richness of His knowledge by philosophy, by wisdom, by reasoning, by doubt, by constantly trying to be good enough. Okay? I want to look at one more thing. Turn to Colossians 2:9 and I'll be done. Colossians 2:9. We're also not under the bondage of insufficiency. Am I good enough? Christ came to earth that by His righteousness, God does see us as being good enough. Colossians 2:9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Okay? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, in him everything dwells. Now I want you to get this. And in him you have been made complete. Why did Christ come to earth? To make me complete. Make you complete. You've been made complete. Christ says there's nothing else you need. Because you have believed. That's a mouthful right there. That you may not feel complete. You may feel that you come up short. You may feel that you're insufficient. But it says you have been made complete. Through Christ's righteousness, you've got everything you need and you're good enough. I mean, now that's freedom. That's freedom. That's liberty. You don't have to go through life second guessing. Coming down to the end of life like my dad did and say, man, I just hope I've got every sin prayed under. Pressure. God the Son came so we would never have to wonder if we're good enough to have a relationship with him. He came to us. Religion is man coming to God. Christianity is God coming to man. We are not constantly chasing him and wondering if salvation is even possible. I don't need anything else. I have everything I need in and through Jesus Christ. That's why he came. One of my favorite shows, and a lot of you know I love sitcoms. One of my favorite shows is Everybody Loves Raymond. And there was an episode on about a week or two ago. And in the episode, the whole family was going to church. They went to church every Sunday morning except Raymond. So if you've seen the show, he lives right next door to his mom and dad and his brother. And his mom and dad are just absolutely overbearing and domineering. And his wife can't stand them. And he's fighting this battle with his wife and can't stand his parents. And he's fighting this battle with his parents who he's afraid of. He's always caught in the middle. That's the whole premise of the show. So, but they go to church every Sunday. So they come over to Raymond's house. So there's Raymond's wife and the kids and Raymond's mom and dad and his brother. And they're all dressed for Sunday. They're all going to church except for Raymond. Raymond comes out in the bathrobe, okay? And the mom and dad are just tore up that he will not go to church. They all go to church, but him and his wife kind of lets it go, and she doesn't say much, so they all go to church except him. Well, they come back home, and he's talking to his wife in the kitchen. She said, Raymond, let me ask you a question. Why do you not go to church? He said, well, honey, he said, you know something? He said, I do spend all week trying to be the best person I can be and doing good things for people. And I think I do a good job of that. In fact, I think I do a good enough job for that I don't have to go to church on Sunday. And she says, Raymond, I'll tell you what we're going to do then, since you're doing such a great job. We're going to call church off Sunday. And instead of everybody going to church listening about Jesus, we're going to bring everybody here and sit them down and they can listen to you tell them about how great a person you are. I thought that was a great answer. A great answer. When I become good enough that we can hold a church service and I can just get up here and tell you, hey, it ain't about Jesus. I'm better than him. Let's just talk about how good I am. When we can do that and I can talk about how good I am instead of how good Jesus is, then we'll change the story. But that's never going to be the case. And I know there's nobody here that wants to get up here and tell everybody how good they are. Forget this Jesus faith and Jesus stuff. Let me tell you how good I am. There's nobody. There's nobody in the world. Christ came to earth because, I will repeat, I don't need anything else. It's not about how good I am. It's not about other things that I fall back on. It's not other things that I'm looking for completeness, for wholeness. I don't need anything else. Everything I need is in and through Jesus Christ. I have been made complete. That is why he came. Merry Christmas. Martha Jo, if you'll come and play. If you say, I don't feel complete, you know, if you don't, it's your fault. If I don't, it's my fault. Christ did it all. Jesus paid it all to be the perfect Christmas song, Ken. It could, because he did. He came to earth so we could have perfect fullness and completion in him. If you don't have him, trust him. If you say, I don't know Jesus Christ, I don't know that. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Okay, I admit I'm a sinner. If I died today, I would not go to heaven. I do not have this relationship in Jesus Christ. Jesus, I'm turning my life over to you. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe you went to the cross and rose again to save me from my sins. I accept it, and I'm going to live for you from here on going forward. Anybody out there listening, that's all you have to do. You don't have to go through 20 classes of this and that and give everything away and do this and do that and do the other. It's faith, grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we believe, and that's who we believe in. If you haven't done that, make that decision. If you're not happy with where you're at in your Christian walk, put your full faith in him. Understand that he came to give you complete fullness, freedom, and liberty. Martha Jeff.